Let's talk about two things that can feel intimidating to most people: starting a business and investing in the stock market. The truth, they don't have to be. With the right tools and strategies, building a global SaaS business and making smart investment decisions are more accessible than you imagine. In fact, according to a recent Gallup poll, 61% of Americans say they find the stock market confusing, and that's exactly the problem today's guest is solving. Sean Tepper is the founder and CEO of Ticker, a B2B or B2C SaaS platform that helps people make smarter, more confident investment decisions. I'm your host, Chelsea Alves, and I'm excited to welcome Sean to today's podcast.
Chelsea, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today. Let's kick things off with your story. How did Ticker come to be, and what inspired you to merge SaaS and investing?
Yeah, so I'll try to keep it somewhat short. I have about 20 years in tech, 15 years in investing. I had my first company from 06 to 2010. I was just an agency building software and websites for small and mid-sized businesses. Went through a merger in 2010, and at that point, I wanted to create a SaaS business, but I didn't have any really good ideas. I was looking at companies like Salesforce and MailChimp and Intuit. Even Netflix was starting to gain traction around that time. I'm like, I need to come up with that type of business because it's more scalable. But again, didn't have any really good ideas. So I started doing corporate consulting for companies like GE, Kohler, a few others, but provided me really good experience on how to build big businesses, like how do they grow, how do they scale, how do they sell. In parallel to that, after 2010, I started getting involved in the stock market. However, I didn't have any really like a clear direction on where to go. So I kind of matched the markets over 5 years. And then in 2015, I hit pause and I said, all right, I'm not pleased with this. I know I can do better. And I know that Warren Buffett and the late Charlie Munger have talked about they consistently beat the markets. And I'm like, wow, these guys are not gambling. Man, they don't use feelings or emotions to pick stocks, which means they're probably starting with some sort of logic or math. I'm a big math guy. So I'm like, all right, I can figure this out. So I read as many books as possible, went down the YouTube rabbit hole and created an Excel sheet that really helps gamify the decision-making process. I knew at the time, I'm like, hey, what is the easiest to understand rating system around the world? And I thought of the traffic light. Everybody kind of knows, like, it doesn't matter what language you speak, everybody kind of gets the green, yellow, red methodology. So I'm like, all right, I'll do something like that. So I created this Excel sheet. Stocks would either be on sale, which is green, watch, which is gray, or overpriced, which is red. And over the next 4 years, just me using it, I made returns in the market between 15 and 50%. For context, the S&P 500 usually returns about 10%, give or take, per year. So I'm like, all right, I got this figured out. So then 2019, I started sharing this Excel sheet with a few other retail investors, just regular people like you and I. And everybody was like, hey, you should turn this into a SaaS product. So it was almost 10 years later, I finally have an idea with some potential legs under it. And it took about a year to build the first version. We went live in 20. And then it took 6 months to get the first paying customer, which I kind of know how that goes, because building software is all about, at the beginning, you want to get feedback. You're not going to have the perfect tool. So you got to get it out there to people for free, get feedback, and just keep iterating to make a better platform. And then fast forward to today, we're a little over 4.5 years old, and we've got over 12,000 customers in about 50 countries.
Wow, that's so impressive, especially hearing that you started your business it sounds like almost in the height of the pandemic and growing it. So that's really a testament to your business success.
Yeah, thank you.
So growing a global SaaS product with thousands of customers is no small feat, especially in 4.5 years. What were some of the most effective lead gen strategies that worked for you?
Yeah, so I knew right off the bat that people go to YouTube to look up, like, it's very much a place where people go to how to fix, you know, XYZ, whatever it is, or how to invest in the stock market. So I knew I have to create a presence there. So about 17% of our leads do come from YouTube. And what I had to learn there is talking to other YouTubers that have significantly more subscribers, learn, hey, what do you do for thumbnails? And we can get into this to give your audience some tips today. But wow. Thumbnails, titles, tagging, content. And it took a long time to learn all the little tricks, but when you kind of put everything together, it's really an effective tool. So YouTube has been 17%. SEO has been 17%. No, SEO is not, as you know, it's not an overnight fix, but you put the foundation in place, and then over time, it tends to pay dividends, if you will. And that took a few years to really drive momentum, but we have over 300 articles on Ticker, the public-facing site, and it's a lot of like stock reviews and tips on how beginners can get started. And we even have an article out there that generates a ton of leads, which is how did Warren Buffett make his first million? That's a big one for us. And then the majority of the remaining leads come from affiliates. So a lot of my experience in the past has been with channel partners or affiliates. We pay 30% to our affiliates for the first year. So we partner with like bloggers and YouTubers and Facebook groups and even other fintechs that'll promote Ticker. And then we give them a piece of the pie. It's a really solid win-win strategy. So I'll pause there. Should we go into the weeds of any of those strategies?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you've mentioned, you know, three different strategies, YouTube, affiliates, and SEO. Can you break down how each of those individual channels contributed to growth?
Yeah. So let's get into YouTube first. A few really effective tips here for your audience. And I recommend anybody, even if you have a service business or a product business, you should be on YouTube because it's a great way to educate people, get them into your ecosystem. Like we call it an ecosystem at Tickers. We want them to join Ticker for free. We've got a 14-day free trial. So we want people to try it out. If they like it, you know, of course you become a subscriber, or if not, no worries. But with YouTube, a few quick tips here is you want to create a title that is very thought-provoking, like how to not lose money in the stock market is a good one. Or numbers usually work well, like the three biggest mistakes new investors make, or the five best tips beginners can do to get started in the market. So something with a number, something that avoids pain. You know, the rule is like pain avoidance is much greater than, you know, desire. So it's like, oh, okay, if I can make money or avoid losing money, people tend to pick avoid losing money in the stock market as an A/B test there. So that's the title. You want to go for like seven words or less. And then the thumbnail should be like similar to the title, but kind of compress it. You want to be five words or less. If you can go one or two, that's key. And you want to be like all capital letters, like a darker background. Like our primary color at Ticker is blue. So we'll do like white font, all capital, and then kind of a bluish background. We'll have variances of that, like green and different colors. But and then you want to, people are attracted to faces. They want to see people. So I found just other YouTubers telling me, try to go like mid shot, like mid chest or up. If you're too far away, like it's showing your waist, it's too far. Even full body, it's like, that's nice. But people want faces is what people attracted. And people be like, well, I'm not good on camera. It's like, don't be critical of yourself. It's everybody's critical of themselves, right? So you try to go mid-chest or up with a photo, and it can be different reaction photos, like you pointing at it, or like, oh my God, like a shocked face or excited face or whatever it is. You want to create different emotions there. And what I did there just to save time for post-production is like take an hour or two and just shoot a whole bunch of photos. You know, just I've here in quote unquote studio, I can just go against the wall and shoot like 30 photos in an hour of different reactions, throw them to my media team. And then like you pick whatever photo you want on the next thumbnail. So those are quick tips to really get people interested in your video. Then you get to the content itself. And I find people are really impatient. So you want to get right to it. Like, hey, in this video, we're going to talk about this. And then get right, you know, you'll see some two YouTubers is like, you know, if you haven't been here before, my name is this, this is my background. If you haven't done so already, click the like button or subscribe. Oh my God. I used to do a little bit of that. And the amount of people would say, you're wasting our time in the first minute of the video. Just get right to it. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's good feedback. Yeah. And then, you know, get right to it. And then always say something like, stay to the end. I'll tell you the one thing or this hot tip that has worked for, but you only always want to get people to stay to the end because it's duration that matters most on the video. if you can get people, like the majority of people, to watch your full video, whether it's a short, which are those vertical videos that are about 60 seconds or less, or if you go wide angle, like our setup here, you want to get people watching the full duration. So you got to tell them in the beginning, stay to the end to hear this one thing. And if you can do that, then at the very end, you can say, hey, please like and subscribe. And if you want to see more, go to, you know, call to action, like you can join, like I always say, you can join Ticker for free, try it out, you know, something like that. But it's critical in the beginning, say, stay to the end to hear this one thing, this one hot tip, or to avoid the biggest mistake, you know. So those are some quick hot tips for YouTube.
Can I ask one question about, in terms of like, how do you determine, you know, which video, what type of videos to produce, what type of content to create on YouTube?
So you kind of get into a groove, like after you create one video and then you see what people like and they're really watching, you get a lot of views on it. You learn as you go, because you'll do different videos and kind of get more laser focused as you go. You can also like pay attention to the news. Like, what are people talking about most? Like, for example, right now, a lot of people are talking about the tariffs, Trump tariffs, Jerome Powell, anything around that. So, that's going to get a lot of action. I will also use Google Trends to see what people are talking about most. You can kind of do searches and then compare them against each other and which one is ranking the most based on views. That helps a little bit. We found that people really like stock reviews. Like, people really like to know, like, hey, should I buy, like, this is a good title because this is what they're searching for, which is, should I buy XYZ stock? Should I buy Apple? Should I buy Tesla? Should I buy, you know, Microsoft? So on and so forth. And then the tariffs at this pertinent time, that's a like highly searched phrase at the moment, Trump tariffs, something like that. So think about that with your businesses, is what are people searching for the most, and create a video against that. It essentially, it's just answering people's questions. Just be, you know, think about value add to them.
Yeah, that's great. Let's dive into the affiliates next and your strategy there for scaling that.
Sure. Yeah. So just to back up a second, if you're creating an affiliate program to build your business, you want to make sure you've got some kind of software that automates and helps you keep track of everything. So we use a company called Redditus. They're based out of Netherlands. They're founder and really solid platform, but it bolts onto a lot of SaaS businesses. So how it works is somebody can join Redditus for free. They create a unique affiliate link that's associated with Ticker. It's all automated. So, you know, you really just go through like a 30-second form and you're off and running. And then every time you share this unique link with your audience, let's say you're a blogger and you got a few posts on, you know, investing in the stock market, you can put that link in that article. Or if you're a YouTuber, you put it in the show notes. Or if you're another fintech, you can put it on your platform somewhere. So you want to make sure your foundation is in place so you can scale, because we have hundreds of affiliates right now. And how does one keep track of all that? Well, Redditus does that for us and lets us know how much each affiliate has earned and then how much we owe them. Like, how much do we pay them? And what's nice is you can designate how they want to be paid, whether it's PayPal or if they want to do Wise or something like that, you can do that as well. As far as the recruiting process, it's a numbers game. Not everybody you reach out to is going to say, yes, I want to be your partner. Years ago, I remember reading something, the closing ratio is about 15%. So you're going to email about 100 potential affiliates in our world. Again, it's bloggers, YouTubers, Facebook groups, other fintechs, maybe Instagrammers. Same thing with TikTok influencers. But only 15% are going to respond, because they're probably inundated with other emails from other affiliates. So it's very persistent and it can be very boring, but that's how big businesses, to be honest, that's how they grow the fastest, is partnerships. It's strategic partnerships that do it. So you got to be diligent. So I try to carve out time, if not every day, at least a few hours a week, where that's all I do is just reach out to affiliates.
Got it. Let's dive into SEO. A lot of our audience members on today's call are probably very interested in hearing about Sure. the SEO aspect of your business. And I know you said that was a large portion of how you drove growth for Ticker.
Yeah, I actually I got my first experience with SEO back in the late 2000s when I had an agency. And I knew over time, like SEO always kind of changes a little bit every few years, the algorithms and what do you have to do. So I always kind of stayed in touch with agency owners to learn, hey, what's best practice? What works? What doesn't work? And when I founded Ticker just after, I met with an SEO firm just to get some tips. And then, like a year later, I actually hired a firm to audit everything we're doing. Like, and I was like, gloves off, tell me what I'm doing wrong. So I can make sure I have a foundation in place. And really the technical structure is really important, like making sure, you know, the title tag matches the H1 tag, I found is a big deal. Making sure you have an image and that alt tag matches the title tag. We use WordPress, and a great tool there is Yoast SEO. And it gives you a rating system, which helps guide you. And it actually works pretty well. It'll give you like a green, yellow, red rating. You probably use it or seen it, Chelsea. But that's been great to make sure you've got an H1. Then, as far as the blocks of text, I found you want to be about 290 characters or less between H2s. If you, it's up to you, but I found you want to go like H2s, H3s, or H4s throughout for headers all the way through your document. You can use as many as you want, of course, only one H1, but then you can have as many again H2s, H3s, or H4s. So what I found there is about, I think it's 290 or could be 300 characters between each header, which makes a big difference. Readability score goes way up. And then making sure it's rich with the terms people are searching for. For example, how did Warren Buffett make his first million? That is peppered into that article a few times and sometimes a variance of it. So the content structure, the technical structure is in place. And then it's really about using each article to provide value. Again, what are people looking for? So that goes back to stock reviews. We've got a few hundred stock reviews. Like, is Apple a good buy? Is Tesla a good buy? Is Palantir a good buy? So on and so forth. And then use the entire article to help answer that question. And it's stuck like that on repeat. It works. Again, it doesn't happen overnight, but gosh, putting that foundation in place 3 years ago or so, it's now starting to pay off.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, and using tools to kind of amplify your efforts. Unmiss has a plethora of SEO tools, like a website audit tool that you mentioned, using a keyword research tool. So I think that's kind of critical to help guide those SEO efforts and see where you can improve to improve your technical and on-page SEO. So thinking from like a founder's perspective, someone who's really interested in your success and they want to get into the SaaS world, what would you say to other founders looking to build a product for a global audience from day one?
Gosh, it's you want to build, you want to think scalable. So, how can your business scale to that level? So, I knew based on past experience of partners, I could have partners all over the world. Now, one thing that helps a lot, this is really critical. If you're building a SaaS business, you want to use global pricing. What that means is we use a tool called Paddle. Paddle is very similar to Chargebee or Recurly. And what it does is it allows you to establish pricing in each country. So I created a document. If you ever heard the phrase the Big Mac index, it's like a Big Mac in the States compared to in France, compared to wherever. It's the same product, but a different price. And it's even converted to a different price based on the average salaries in the country. So I did the same thing. I created an Excel sheet I called the Netflix index. The price of Netflix in every single country and what that converts to. So, for example, the base price, I think in the US is like $9 or $10. If you convert it to the native currency in some countries like India, it'll be like $3. So, you got to create pricing that's appropriate for people all over the world. And then it's got to show, and this is what's nice about Paddle, is it shows their currency. So, for example, somebody's from India and they land on Ticker's pricing page, they see rupees. They do not see US dollars. So that makes it more inviting for people in the world. Because I found previous companies, people who live outside the States get a little frustrated with American software because they're like, oh, it's built by Americans for Americans. It's not inclusive. So you want to be inclusive of other countries around the world and use a tool like Paddle to create the global pricing. So that's your foundation. As far as marketing goes, you want to use channels that can extend beyond the reach of your country. So YouTube is a great example of that because it serves most people around the world. SEO can do the same. Affiliates can do the same. Sure, you connect with one affiliate that, let's say, they only have US customers, but let's say you connect with an affiliate, in our case, from Germany, and it really helps people get introduced to the stock market, financial education. They're a great affiliate as well. We can work with them. So you want your foundation scalable from a global perspective first, and then you can start going after these different channels. So that's really the beginning, making sure you've got the right foundation in place.
So circling back to earlier, I know you had mentioned that you kind of, you know, learned a lot of this stuff from the ground up. Like you didn't necessarily, you know, go to school for SEO or learning how to, you know, create videos that rank well on YouTube. So for, you know, other founders who may not have that area of expertise and are looking to grow it, like what resources or influencers or even courses would you recommend to help them get started?
Gosh. Yeah. It's, you know, when I hear somebody say, and I could go on about this until next Tuesday, but it's like, I'm going to school for engineering or I'm going to school for marketing. The problem is the strategies and the tactics, they change so quickly. It can be in it like every 2 years. A marketing strategy once worked does not work. So if you want to go to school for it, fine, but you're going to spend a lot of money that you're not going to see an ROI. You're going to get the name of the university and that's it. But anyway, back to who I lean on. There are quite a few influencers. I don't love them all, but I do take their information and I'll kind of put it into play and I kind of look at who's most successful. So I'll name some of the usual suspects. Alex Hormozi has been very helpful. His content is good. Yuri Alkane, he's based out of Canada. He really focuses on the fitness industry, but his tactics do make sense for marketing and sales around the world. Myron Golden is another guy who's really solid. Dan Henry. Going back over 10 years, I started following Brendan Burchard. I thought his sales funnels, email marketing, how you write copy was very helpful. But I've been, gosh, you can't see the bookshelves I have in my room, but the amount of books I read and the content I've had to learn over the years, it is just ridiculous. And a lot of it, you know, doesn't work for your business, but when I read a book, for example, I'm reading 10X is easier than, 10X is easier than 2X. It's sitting on my table over here. By Dan Sullivan, it's like, all right, I know I'm going to find some nuggets in there because a lot of people said, Sean, this applies to your SaaS business. You should read it. But that's really a short list of influencers you could say that I've learned a lot from.
No, that's great advice. And, you know, I'm sure our audience, you know, will dive into those influencers if they're looking to learn more. Let's shift gears to your company and be able to give you an opportunity to kind of spotlight that, you know. Can you tell us more about exactly what Ticker does and why people should use it?
Yeah. So here's little stats for you. So there are about 300 million retail investors on just the top 25 brokers. I use Schwab as just one broker. A lot of people in the States use Robinhood or E-Trade. Now, a lot of these people join a broker and then from there, they don't know what to do. It's kind of like you get invited to a party, you show up at the party, and then you look around and like, oh, I don't know anybody here. It's kind of an awkward moment. And so what we do is we're an analytics and education tool all in one. So you don't buy and sell stocks on our platform, but you use Ticker to know exactly what is a good stock and what's a bad stock. So that's why I created Ticker, because I listen to a lot of podcasts. And if I hear somebody say XYZ stock is a good buy, I don't know how to fact check that. Well, I created Ticker to solve that problem. So I'll hear something on a podcast or YouTube, plug it into Ticker, and within seconds, I'm like, oh, this is all green or this is all red. I should definitely avoid it. It has tools in it, like a watch list feature is my favorite. So when ratings change, like that. I mentioned earlier that on sale watch overpriced, you automatically get notified. I love that because if I've got an on sale stock that switches to overpriced, I can sell it before it really goes down. There's a portfolio tracker. People love that because you can track everything in one location. We've got stocks, ETFs, even crypto, bunch of other tools in it, but it's like everything you need to be highly effective in the stock market is all easy to use in one location. And our audience, it's probably about 80% beginners, 20% more experienced investors. That's kind of the split.
Knowing that your audience is primarily beginners, what advice do you have for a beginner who's looking into starting to invest?
Education is key, and that's where we come into play. And that's why we have a 14-day free trial. It's like, get in, you can get educated and just, if you really wanted to, in a matter of hours, but if you take your time, it's just a few days, you can go from a beginner to quite advanced in a very short amount of time. And really the key there is education, making sure you know, when to buy, when to sell, what to look for, what to avoid, how to reduce the risk of losing money. We've got an onboarding sequence that teaches people all those little things. We also have articles. You can just read through it in all one go, so you don't have to wait for the emails, but it's education. And then after that, use the tool, because that's going to help guide you on your journey.
What are the biggest misconceptions you see or hear around investing, and how does Ticker help correct those?
Yeah, so there'll be people that'll say, hey, the market's rigged and it's rigged against the retail investor, and that's as far from the truth as you can get. With the stock market, it's actually a lot easier than people think. Most people overcomplicate it. And a lot of people that work in finance will use big words that people don't know what they mean. It's like, it's all this smoke and mirrors type situation. It's like, you know what, when you figure out the basics and how the stock market moves, why stocks go up and down the most, what really moves stocks the most, it becomes extremely easy to move forward. With very little effort, to give you context here, and I give all the credit to Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, and another guy by the name of Phil Talanbaum, my average returns over the last 10 years consistently are about 40% per year. And that's very hard to achieve for most people, but it's like, you got to look at it from a very simple view. It's not overcomplicated. I don't sit behind a computer screen trading. We teach people this right away, the difference between investing and trading. Investing is when you make your money work for you. Trading is when you still work for money. So it's like, we flip the paradigm and get people thinking about, oh, I got it. Like, this is actually really simple. And if I can just be patient, that's where the big returns come from, instead of working and fighting and, you know, trying to buy and sell every day. It's a lot of noise. People think it's more complicated than what it is. So sorry for the rant there.
I mean, I hear the same thing. I'm not obviously as well versed in the investing space as you are, but yeah, a lot of people just, yeah, they think like being the day traders, how they're going to make it big. So what's on the horizon for Ticker? Like, are there any upcoming features or markets or big goals that you're excited about?
Yeah. So right now we're actually working on the broker connection feature. We're connecting with a company called SnapTrade, and they already connected with about 25 brokers. And the benefit there is our customers can connect their broker to Ticker, and that way their portfolio and their brokers automatically synced in Ticker every day. So you can keep track of everything in one clean location. It's like the number one most requested feature. And finally, last year, around this time, we launched the mobile app, which was a big request. Now this is the next big thing. So that's something we're working on right now. We're also in a seed round because we're nearing cash flow positive. We started to go raise funds from our Ticker community, and fortunately are getting invites to other locations. So we're doing a seed round here in spring, and that's really focused on accelerating. I could talk about fundraising an entire podcast, but a lot of businesses out there in the tech space raise a whole bunch of money and they throw it at salaries, and it can be a lot of wasted dollars. What you want to do is not invest any of the money in salaries. You want to put it right into growth. So what do you know, or what do you know moves the needle the most or grows the most? In our case, we know that, you know, YouTubers, other YouTubers that talk about finance, that's easy. Well, you simply pay them a fee to promote Ticker, and there you go. You got leads on autopilot. Paid ads. We know what our or pretty close what our return on ad spend is. You know, it's like you get those numbers dialed in first, then raise capital, because then you know, like, okay, if you get $100,000 or $500,000 to deploy, you have a good idea what that's going to turn into after you get your numbers in place, instead of guessing like maybe this will work or maybe that'll work. So I'm excited about, again, broker connections and then the investors that have come to the table so far. It's a pretty exciting place to be.
Yeah. Sounds like an exciting time right now for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Took only 4.5 years to get here. that's the non-glamorous part of building a business. As you know, it takes a long time to get things off the ground.
I was going to say, I feel like even 4.5 years is pretty impressive. A lot of people experience that kind of growth in like 10 to 20. So you're doing great.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, Sean, this has been such a great conversation. I think you shared a lot of practical, inspiring and actionable advice. Where can our listeners go to learn more about Ticker and connect with you if they have further questions or want to pick your brain more?
Yeah, two locations. One is you can go to Ticker, TYKR.com. And then I'm really active on LinkedIn, just Sean, S-E-A-N, Sean Tepper.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Sean, for being here and sharing your expertise. And our listeners, if you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe to the Unmissed podcast and leave us a review. And as I mentioned earlier, visit unmissed.com. We have a free website audit tool that can help guide your SEO efforts and get you more visible in the search engine results pages. This has been the Unmissed podcast, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you.